Welcome to Compliance Perspectives. I'm your host, Courtney Nordrum of the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and the Healthcare Compliance Association. With me today is Ileana Peters. Ileana is an attorney and senior advisor at the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office for Civil Rights. Welcome to the podcast, Ileana.
Thank you.
Ileana is talking at our annual Compliance Institute. She's speaking and giving us an OCR enforcement update. Well, we've heard your title and we know that you're an expert, but how did you come to work in compliance in general?
Sure, it's a really good question. So I went to law school and started, like many of us, in the law, and got my introduction to compliance from that perspective. And then I decided I wanted to go back and get my LLM in healthcare law. So I was given the opportunity to look at compliance in many different perspectives in the healthcare space and with regard to healthcare law. And one of my professors taught a class in HIPAA. And so she put me in touch with the Office for Civil Rights when they were looking for investigators in the Dallas regional office. And I was lucky enough to get a position there as a compliance investigator. And I did just what that sounds like I did. I
investigated.
Exactly. I investigated the compliance of entities with the HIPAA rules. Back then, it was just covered entities because that was before we had jurisdiction over business associates. And I did that for a little over a year and really enjoyed the work. And then the opportunity came up to do policy work here in Washington, D.C. And that was writing guidance for the website, doing rulemakings. I was the lead drafter for the omnibus final rule on business associates. So I got a lot of really fun opportunities to do policy work. And then the position to lead the enforcement program in HHS OCR came up. And of course, I would never turn that job down. And it's a fantastic opportunity. I love my job and I love my staff and I love the work that I do. And it's all compliance related. So it's really fun work.
You've got the dream job for some compliance officers. Like I mentioned before, Ileana is speaking here at the Annual Compliance Institute just outside of DC, giving an enforcement update. I went through your slides and I noticed quite a few things, not only speaking of guidance that OCR is providing, but looking at audit as well as how OCR closes cases. So you really did a comprehensive presentation. What is the big guidance coming out of the presentation?
So I had a policy update and an audit update, but then I also talked about the different things that we're seeing, not only from a case perspective, on continuing enforcement issues. So obviously these are issues that are common within our sector and issues that we see continuously coming up in the cases that we're working in, in many of the different types of cases that we're working, whether they're complaint driven or driven by a breach or brought to us from a news agency or another federal or state agency. Many of the compliance concerns that we're seeing in these cases are the same, and we see the same ones over and over and over again. And so I walked through some of our recent cases, which are all available on our website, our settlement cases, because those are the cases that we try and highlight for the industry, these ongoing compliance and enforcement issues that we see. So we pick cases to move to settlement on that not only we feel strongly about in terms of the egregiousness of the potential violation in any of those cases, but also cases that will send a message to the industry and be a teachable moment for all of the practitioners that do this work so they understand what our continuing concerns are. And so many of those things I talked about in the presentation, but include things that are discussed on our website, like doing an enterprise-wide risk analysis and what that means for your organization. And and correspondingly, after that's done, implementing the appropriate safeguards that the security rule requires, but also that your enterprise needs to determine are the best for your organization and the data that it holds. Also, privacy issues. We are continuing to see issues where many people in the organization don't understand what's actually allowed by the rules. The privacy rule particularly in terms of when they can affirmatively disclose information outside their organization. So, you know, we're having a lot of issues recently with affirmative disclosures by entities, for example, to the media or to reporters that aren't otherwise permissible under the rule and that they would need to get an authorization from the patient before they share that information. So that is a continuing compliance concern. I also talked about the breaches that we're seeing and all of the different issues that that we see in those breach reports, particularly the big breach reports, which are those that affect 500 or more individuals. And there are trends in those too over time. And while cybersecurity is an increasing issue for our industry, and the number of breaches that we've seen reported to us as a result of cyber incidents have certainly increased, but there are continuing concerns with, for example, removable media, laptops, thumb drives, any type of phone, you know, portable electronic device of
anything
any kind.
Portable.
Exactly. And as I always say, if it can walk away from your enterprise, it will walk away. So that is a continuing issue that we see over and over again. And just highlighting those types of issues for anyone in compliance is important, because it's not only about whatever the hot compliance or risk issue is at the moment, which is absolutely important, and particularly in the cyber context, the healthcare sector is not doing a good job of preparing for cyber incidents. But we also can't lose sight of the other things that may not be as sexy at the moment, but that are really important to a compliance program. And that can range from, as I said, jump drives or iPhones or tablets of all different types, to paper records, to good old paper records, and how to protect the data in paper records and keeping that in mind. So those are some of the big issues that I hit today in my presentation.
One of the first slides I noted in your presentation was about some of the changes to provisions in the HITECH Act. Mm-hmm. Can you speak to that a little bit?
So certainly, yeah. We are at a really good place after the omnibus final rule. The HITECH Act, as I'm sure many of your listeners recall, did provide for many different things, including direct liability by business associates, increased access to individuals to their own data, other important changes in rights and protections for individuals, including two that we are working on additional rulemaking on. And one of those is the sharing of penalties or other recoveries with individuals who might be harmed by any potential violation. So the HITECH Act does require that we look at how to do that and do that with our enforcement recoveries. It's been a long road because, as you can imagine, trying to determine harm in any particular circumstance is difficult.
Yeah.
Trying to quantify that harm, trying to figure out how we're actually going to share monies from the government with individuals who are...
Logistically, it sounds like a nightmare.
Yes, exactly. So we're working very hard on that, but our next step is what's called an advanced notice of proposed rulemaking, which is basically a request for information from the public about how they think we should tackle all of these hard questions. So that is something that we're working on. And then the other piece of the HITECH Act that we're still working on is the accounting of disclosures and the changes to the privacy rule on accounting of disclosures. We did a notice of proposed rulemaking there and heard from a lot of people in the industry that the requirements in the HITECH Act were going to create a lot of burdens on industry. And so we're still trying to figure out the best way to implement the statutory requirements, which obviously we have to do, while understanding the concerns of our regulated community. So we will likely move forward with more work in that area too. So those are sort of our HITECH issues that we're still dealing with.
In your presentation, you also went into several areas where OCR is providing guidance to the public in general. A couple of those I noted, and one you've already talked about, is kind of the social media and the text messaging.
Mm-hmm.
But a few of them are a little bit more technical. So I see that there's guidance on PMI research programs.
Right.
And use of certified EHR technology. These are less sexy, and they definitely get less attention,
right,
but they're equally important.
Absolutely.
So can you give us a little guidance on...
Sure. So obviously, text messaging, social media, all things on everybody's radar. But the All of Us campaign, which was formerly the PMI campaign, which was part of the priorities of NIH, for example, and continues to be one of their major priorities, is a campaign that's about trying to develop a national cohort of individuals who are willing to give over their health information to NIH to study for long-term trends, to try and understand the health risks to our society as a whole. So this is a big data project.
Oh, yes.
And it's really an important project because it has the potential to really affect the way that not only we as patients receive care, but how the government funds healthcare, and also major initiatives to reduce, for example, ongoing healthcare issues in our population to increase the health of our population overall.
Public health issues,
exactly.
Generally.
So, but as you can imagine, when people are volunteering to provide their data to a government agency that is not a HIPAA-covered entity, where the HIPAA protections don't apply, there are a lot of concerns about how that data is going to be protected and be kept private and secure.
Yes.
So because we have a lot of experience in that as the HIPAA regulator, we are working very closely with our colleagues that are implementing the All of Us campaign to make sure that there are privacy and security protections for that data, even though it doesn't necessarily fall under HIPAA protections.
So building up and enforcing the best practices, even when there's no law necessarily to support it.
Absolutely. That's absolutely right. So that's something that we are continuing to work with NIH and the other federal partners that are working in the All of Us campaign on. And some of the other guidance that you mentioned was the certified EHR technology guidance. Mm-hmm. So as you'll recall, under meaningful use, we were hoping that the healthcare sector would really take the carrot of these meaningful use dollars and implement technologies in medical practices that make it easier not only to share information with other healthcare providers and insurance companies, but also with the patients themselves. So these are certified electronic health record technologies. So they are electronic health records that are certified to do certain things to make it easier to share information with the people who need it to treat individuals, to pay for their care, and to also benefit the individuals themselves with access to that information.
My chart.
Right. So a lot of different types of EHR technologies, right? So when they become certified, that means that the Office of the National Coordinator has determined that they actually contain certain functionalities.
Okay.
So what we're working on is with guidance with the Office of the National Coordinator to talk about what these functionalities are, what has to be in certified technology to make it certified. It has to do this, it has to do this in order to be certified in the first place. Mm-hmm. And how entities can use those technologies for example, privacy and security compliance.
Oh, okay.
So a really good example is certified EHR technology has to be able to audit touches to the record. But many times that function is not turned on in an electronic health record.
Oh, okay.
So there's a checkbox in the software when you're setting it up to where you can create audit trails. So you can look at these audit trails, so you can understand who's been accessing the record, changing the record, all of those issues. But entities actually have to understand what that function does, how they can use it for compliance, and even just how to turn it on. Mm-hmm. So these and similar issues are what we're working on for guidance in the EHR technology area.
That's really interesting. I also made a note to myself to ask you about ransomware and cloud computing.
Yes.
That is the extent of the note I made to myself. Ask Ileana about ransomware and cloud computing.
Yeah, really interesting and important topics, particularly because these are emerging technologies in many ways. Mm-hmm. So ransomware, one of my IT specialists likes to call it an off-the-shelf ransomware technology. So a lot of people don't realize that much of the malware that can infect our systems in the healthcare sector and in any other sector, financial sector, education sector, whatever it may be, they are for sale on the dark web.
Oh, yes.
So these are like a software solution that you would otherwise buy, and it does something for you. And these are things that are available to hackers. So there are a lot of characteristics about different types of ransomware that we know are currently available. And so that's one of the things that we start out by talking about in the ransomware guidance, mm-hmm. because we want people to understand what the actual solution, if you will. It is a solution for a hacker, not for an enterprise, but what the technology actually does. So we start by walking through what ransomware is, what it does to your data. Then we talk about what happens if you are hit by ransomware, mm-hmm. and what that means from a regulatory perspective. Specifically, that from an OCR perspective, in talking with our federal colleagues at the Department of Homeland Security, in our own HHS IT office, and in the FBI, we consider that to be a breach.
Yes.
And then the entity has to determine, based on its forensics analysis and other information, whether or not it's a reportable breach, whether or not the data was compromised. We do think in the majority of cases, cases, if you were hit by ransomware, your data has been compromised. But it might depend, and we would look to the entity to tell us why it wasn't if they don't report. Mm-hmm. But we also talk in that guidance about the things that you can do as an entity that are already required under the HIPAA security rule that put you in the best position to defend not only against ransomware, but also other cyber threats, other types of malware, other types of hacking events. And so we talk a lot in that guidance about things like data backup and contingency planning and incident response and reporting and working with your IT team to determine the risk to your data and how to protect your data. So that ransomware guidance is actually pretty in-depth guidance that uses ransomware as a jumping off point. Our cloud computing guidance, I think, is also really good guidance that we worked for several years on to talk with our regulated community about what it means to use cloud providers, but also what the legal implications are. And that is that these cloud providers are generally business associates. So we need to make sure that they understand through a business associate agreement and other conversations with the covered entity, how the covered entity expects them to protect the data and the security on their data. Many of these cloud solutions are very good solutions from a practical perspective because they do prioritize security of the data. Mm-hmm. But the covered entity really has to understand what the risk to their data is in that type of solution. And also that we are going to hold business associates and those cloud computing vendors liable when there is no compliance in terms of the HIPAA rules. But we walk through, again, what cloud service providers are, how they provide services to covered entities, what they might do with that data, how they might protect that data, and what we expect the covered entities to do as well when they develop relationships with these cloud service providers. So, for example, while a covered entity is not legally liable, if a breach happens at its business associate, if that business associate is an independent contractor, which in many cases the cloud service providers are, they do have to understand if they have an ongoing relationship with that cloud provider and their data is flowing back and forth from the cloud provider, what does that mean for their own risks in their own entity? And do they have the appropriate safeguards in place to make sure that if a breach were to occur at a business associate, that wouldn't impact their own enterprise? So again, very comprehensive guidance about what it means to use cloud services and how that would affect liability under the HIPAA rules and the concerns that we have as the regulator in terms of compliance in that area.
And I will post links in the blog area to these two guidance documents.
Great.
So all of our listeners and all of our blog readers can go access them. Ileana, I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your very busy schedule here at the Compliance Institute and in general to share a little OCR guidance with us.
Oh, my pleasure. Happy to help.